All right, we open up our Bibles back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to get back into some of the issues with communion here that we've been going over for the last, I don't know how many weeks, 6-7 weeks now maybe. But hope you don't mind. I've been taking it sort of slow through this just because of all the confusion that's been there, and thought we'd take it, get a little in depth into it. And last week we made it down into verse 27. Why don't we just start reading, though, back in verse 19 again. Or verse 17. We'll just start in verse 17 of chapter 11. Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest unto you, among you. When ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And we talked about some of the issues in there, and how Paul says, you know, when you come together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. And they were doing a physical reenactment of the Lord's Supper. And he says, I praise you not in what you're doing. And then verse 23, he's going to recount what happened in that upper chamber there in the room before the evening before the crucifixion. For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And we talked in a little bit at length about how here Paul recounts what happens in that room, and how Jesus Christ gives an ordinance, gives something for the 12 disciples, and that was going to be passed on to the little flock, something for them to do. And as they were to do it, it would cause them to remember the Lord's death. And we talked about how their mind should have gone back to the time when Jesus Christ talked about what it meant to eat of his body and what it meant to drink of his blood, and how that those issues were detailed there in John chapter 6, how it was through faith and you partake of him through faith. And then verse 27, Paul opens this up now where he goes, Wherefore, whosoever, the people he's talking to has changed now. This is Paul talking to us, because the ye was from Jesus Christ, and that ye was to his disciples only. But now in verse 27, there's a change here. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. And we talked about how this whosoever now, this cup this and this bread is open to all. It's not limited to the Jews only. And how that there's this table in heaven, in that sense. And it was the Jews' preeminent place to sit at that table, and how they've been removed, and how that the body of Christ now has access to that table, and all Jews and Gentiles alike, and we can all partake of this bread and drink of this cup. And whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And Paul's making, you know, it's that bread and that cup. It's the bread of the body of Jesus Christ, and it's the cup of the New Testament that we're talking about. And we are able to partake of it now. Verse 29, For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickening among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So here, when we talked last week about some of the issues from verse 27 through 30, how he talks, how you can unworthily partake of this bread and cup. And he goes down and he adds more information. In verse 27, he says, you can unworthily, and if you do, you'll be found guilty. And I put this up on the board last time. And then verse 29, he said, He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Well, if you being found guilty is the same as being under some damnation. And but in verse 29, he goes, how do you, and then he gives the, tells you how you unworthily partake it in verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. And this is how you unworthily partake, is when you not discerning the Lord's body. And that's how you unworthily partake, is when you do not discern his body. And that's the key to the to unworthily partaking, how you unworthily partake. In verse 30, it gives you the definition of what happens to you when you fall underneath this damnation, what happens to you when you are guilty. For this cause, for the cause of unworthily partaking, for the cause of this damnation, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And so in Corinth, there were many saints there that were weak and sick and sleeping. Not just a few, but many. Most of them were underneath this damnation. Most of them were unworthily partaking of that bread and that cup. And we talked last week how all that comes down to is a spiritual understanding of his body. And that's what that word discerning means, and how that word discern is, it brings in the context of your spiritual understanding, being able to judge what God is doing and what God is not doing. And we went back to chapter 2. Why don't we flip back there in Corinthians chapter 2. And we see how in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And you see, there's two spirits there. There's one that's the spirit of the world, and there's one that's the spirit of God. And both those spirits are going to be vying to give you information to cause you to follow after them. But the spirit, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The way you understand what is from God is by having the Spirit of God reveal them to you. You cannot find them through the spirit of the world. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so if you want to understand his body, if you want to be able to discern his body so you can worthily partake, you have to be led by the Spirit of God. You cannot understand what it means to be part of his body. You cannot understand the issues of the bread and the cup if you're trying to go at it through your flesh, if you're trying to go at it through the spirit of the world. No, these things must be spiritually discerned and taught to you by the Spirit. And we looked and we saw last week a little bit how the Spirit teaches you through his word. And it must be his word that you come to in order to understand these things. Because we all should want to worthily partake of this bread and this cup. And in order to do so, you must do it his way. You must be able to spiritually understand the ramifications of his body. So last week we talked a little bit about his body and how it has to do with what God is doing today, and how Jesus Christ is the original bread. And how that when you are saved, you are baptized into Christ, you are made part of that bread. And as being part of that bread now, you receive your nourishment from him. You receive your life from him. And everything flows from Jesus Christ to you. And you have been so linked with him, you are identified as being part of him now and part of his body. And how important that is. And then last week we talked a little bit about when you get saved. And this is something I want to go over again real quick, because this is really important to understand as we go on in this chapter now. When you get saved, you're given a position in heaven where all your sins are forgiven and you are identified with Christ. But when you get saved, you don't understand all those things yet. You know, when you get saved, God doesn't just fill you up with all his word and all his doctrine so that way you understand everything. No, God wants you then to grow. And so when you got to look at it this way. When you get saved, think of it as you're a babe in Christ. You understand certain things. You understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. You understand that your sins are forgiven, and that by faith in Him alone and not by works, you have salvation that is yours eternally to hold on to. But God tells us in Ephesians that He's given us all spiritual blessings. Now, the moment you get saved, you don't understand what all these spiritual blessings are, do you? No, those come about. You have them, but your understanding of what they are come about as you read and learn Scripture. And the more you read Scripture, the more you understand what all these spiritual blessings are. God doesn't just fill you up with them all so that way like the light goes on your head and you understand all things about God. God expects you to grow. And that's one of the things I want to talk about today. He expects you to grow in these things. Turn over to Ephesians 4, chapter 15. Before we go there, let's just go there. We'll get 1 Corinthians, show you that in a minute. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, he says, "But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fit jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth." But in verse 15, he says, speaking the truth in love may grow up. God expects you, when you're saved, you're considered a babe in Christ. You don't have much understanding. But He expects Christians to what? To grow up. Now, when you have children, and you have a child and they're in diapers, you don't expect that child to be in diapers their whole life, do you? You expect them to grow up and learn and mature out of those diapers. And it's the same thing with us as Christians. When we are saved, we are considered babes in Christ, but God expects us to grow. God expects us to grow up in the truth. And it's the truth that allows you to grow. He doesn't want you to continue being a babe in Christ your whole life. Just as when we have children, we don't want our children to be childlike their whole life. We expect them to mature. We expect them to start to learn how to read, how to add. We expect them to be able to make good and proper decisions. And that's what's expected there. And God expects the same in your spiritual life. He expects you to grow up in Him. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. "Now God Himself and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another, and towards all men, even as we do towards to you, to the end ye may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." You see there in verse 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound." God's expecting you to grow up, to abound, to get bigger, to understand more. In verse 13, "To the end He may establish your hearts." The goal of Bible study is to establish you as a mature saint. The goal of Bible study is so that you grow up and learn what these spiritual blessings are. You learn what it means to be part of the body of Christ. That you learn what it means to discern His body. And God doesn't expect Christians to say, "Okay, I got saved. Now that's all I need to know. And let's go start singing some songs." Which is what happens with a lot of Christians. You get a lot of Christians, they get saved, and then that's like seems to be the end. They don't really study much. They don't want to study. They don't think they need to study. They don't need to get into His Word. They're saved and they're happy with that, but then they just want to go play church. And you see that so often, and Christians don't mature. And so many times when you talk to Christians and other people in the faith, it's you bring up things out of the Bible and they have no clue what you're talking about. You bring up, just Paul, and they hardly even know who the guy is. You bring up that you're part of the body of Christ, and they look at you like, "What? This body of Christ? I've never heard of that." You bring up the mystery, and they're like, "I've never heard the mystery." You bring up, have you heard about the revelation of the mystery and how that, Jew and Gentile together are both reconciled into one body? And it's like you're way over their head. And that's kindergarten stuff. And yet they have never heard, they've never contemplated it. They're happy being children. I mean, can you imagine if you went into a high school and you have 18 and 17-year-old kids and they're playing tiddlywinks with blocks trying to get them through, and they're happy like that? And that's as far as the maturity level that they ever wanted to gain? That's most of Christendom. Because they don't grow up. They don't want to become established. And that's what happens. And but Paul's response, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, that one of the reasons for all this is verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You are to grow with to being the perfect man, to being the stature of Jesus Christ. His understanding in this now should be yours. The way he views the world should be the way you view the world. The way he's dealing with people should be the way you deal with people. That you are to grow up and become everything he is. You're not to stay as a babe in Christ. You're not to stay playing tiddlywinks back in, you know, Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3, and then that's the end of your spiritual growth. God didn't write his word so that way we can put it on a shelf and just leave it there. No, he expects you to grow. He expects you to grow up, to establish your hearts. Turn over to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. Verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You see in verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you, it's God's will that he establishes us. It's God's will that we grow up. And this is what I started talking about last week. You have a spiritual life. We each have a spiritual growth that we need to grow in. The moment you're saved, yes, you are, all your sins are completely forgiven. You are given a complete standing with Jesus Christ. You are made complete in him. Your standing with God cannot be changed. He has done everything for you. But he expects you now, as he has left you on the earth, to grow up and be who he has made you to be. He expects you to take all these things that he's made you and now to live like that. And he's not going to force you, but he expects you to be able to do that on your own. And he gives you his word to do it. And he tells you in verse 25 how to do it. Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel. You ever go up to a saint and you say, do you know Paul's gospel? And they think, what's that? Or they might say, oh, that's got to be the same as the gospel of Jesus Christ that when he was on the earth. That's the gospel you're talking about. No, it's different. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, when you say, do you understand the preaching of Jesus Christ? Everybody's minds run back to the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ when he was on the earth. And they say, you know, yeah, I see that. I follow Jesus. But no, that's not how we are established today. We're established by the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. I'm sorry, they're not the same. And if you want to grow up, you have to understand these things. But if you don't want to grow and you're content being childish and you're content being a babe in Christ, then you're going to never understand these things because you're not going to care. If you want to continue playing baby games and thinking that how Jesus Christ was on his earthly ministry and that's where we need to be, you're not going to grow because you're going to be outside of what God's doing. You're not going to be being fed properly.
He tells you in verse 25, "Now to him there is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest." That's how you establish yourself. That's how you grow. There's no other way around it. Try as you may. If you go to an assembly and your pastor's teaching you that you got to follow Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to grow. You're going to be kept in your diapers. You're going to be kept playing with the little block trying to get it in the square hole. Because they're playing games with you. There's no growth there. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just over the page. Chapter 3, I'm sorry. Verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto what? Babes in Christ." Here you had Corinthians. They probably had some 50 and 60-year-old people in their church, I would think. They might have even had some 70-year-old people in their church. You know what Paul calls them? Babes. Carnal in their understanding. They never grew. They were content staying in kindergarten. They never wanted to advance. Now, I know when I went to school, I couldn't wait to get to the next grade. And I would pass my English courses and my math courses and try and do well so I could get into the next grade. We got Christians today that don't care about getting into the next grade because they're content staying in first grade. They're content staying in kindergarten. They enjoy coloring the pictures. And that's all they want out of Christian life. And they want this, you know, they enjoy the fuzzy feeling things that they think are there, but they really aren't. There's the same thing with the Corinthians. Verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." I couldn't give you spiritual, advanced spiritual things, "but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hereunto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." You see that? There's a spiritual life that each one of us lives, and I want you to be well aware of that, that it's your life. I can't get into your life and make you grow. You can't get into my life and make me grow. God's not going to force His will on you and cause you to grow forcefully. He leaves that up to you and what you're going to do. Now, some of us might decide, you know what? I like the milk, and I'm just going to keep on the milk because I don't want any meat. Some people purposely choose to do that. They don't want to grow. They think if they grow, it might be scary. It might cause them to make some choices. It might cause them to actually stand up for something. You know what? I don't want to do that. I'm just going to, you know what? Give me my blanket and just hold me over here in the corner. I'm really happy with my pacifier. There's a lot of Christians like that. But that's not what God intends for you. He intends for you to grow up. He doesn't intend for you to stay as a child. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. You want to know what God's will is for your life? "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." God says, my will for you is that you don't stay as a child. You don't stay as a babe in Christ. Because you know what happens to you if you do? If you stay as a little child, there's going to be some people that come around and they're going to try and carry you away into some place that God's not there. They're going to use cunning words and craftiness and the sleight of men. They're going to show you Jesus Christ in one hand. And you're as a little child going to be like, oh yeah, there's Jesus right there. And then they're going to switch them and give you the Jesus Christ of the law. They're going to show you Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And you're going to be like, yeah, that church looks really good. And then they're going to switch them and they're going to give you the earthly Jesus Christ. And you need to follow Him now. And you need to do what He did. And you need to follow the Ten Commandments and tithe and do all those things. They're going to trick you. And as a child, God says, don't be as a child. Because if you are, detrimental things are going to happen. So it's incumbent upon you to grow up. It's incumbent upon you to understand that you have a spiritual life. Don't look at yourself in the mirror and you see, I just had a birthday a couple of weeks ago. I turned 41. Wow. Don't look at the mirror and say, I must be a pretty mature person. That's not who I am spiritually. I might be maturing physically, but it's spiritually that God cares about. I might not see a child in the mirror, but if I were to see my spiritual state, do you want to see a child there? Being tossed to and fro? That's not good. What happens when you get tossed to and fro too much? You ever take a kid and you start whipping them around, or take an adult? You know, there's a ride I used to like at Great America. It was a little circle thing, and you stick to the wall because it's moving so fast, and the floor drops, and you stick to the wall. And you know what happened to a lot of people after that ride? They got what? They threw up. They got sick. Their stomachs, everything's turned inside out. And that goes back to what we talked about. If you're a child, you're getting tossed to and fro, you're going to get sick. You might start throwing up. God said He doesn't want that for you. And there are people, look at that verse 14 again, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are people out there looking for Christian children. Now you might be 40 or 50, but you might still be a child inside. And they're trying, they're waiting for you, they're looking for you because they want to abuse you. Take your money. Take your time. Take your strength. Is what they're doing. There are churches that want to build huge monuments, huge buildings, and they need people to build those. They need your money and your time. But they're not out there for your benefit. They're out there for their own. And they're tricking you. Turn over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Look how he talks to, look how Paul has to talk to these Galatians. My little children, the Galatians were still children. They didn't mature. They were on their way. They had a good start, but then something happened. And they reverted. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until what? Christ be formed in you. That's exactly what we've been talking about. It's all about Jesus Christ and being part and understanding your part in His body and letting what He is be formed in you and you eating of Him, and that relationship needs to grow. And Paul says here, Galatians, you're back to being little children. I have to give birth to you. I have to reteach you what it's like to be in Jesus Christ so that you will be formed to become, to mature unto that perfect man, unto Jesus Christ. And you know how the Galatians reverted? Go back a couple chapters to chapter 1, verse 6. Oh, they started really good. Oh, wait. They started really good. Turn back over to chapter 4. I'm sorry, hold your finger in chapter 1. But chapter 4, verse 15. Wherein is this blessedness he spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. And am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul says, there was a time when you thought I was, when you understood who I was, you would have laid down your lives for me. But now you don't think that way anymore. Now you view me as an enemy. What happened? It's because you've gone back to being little children. And the way that happened was in Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 is that Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They were deceived. Somebody came and did the switcheroo on them. Somebody came and said, oh great, you guys are saved. I got some more information about this gospel. Let me tell you about it. And these Galatians removed themselves from Paul. And they followed something else. They became children because they weren't established in the faith. Because, you know, it's really hard to move something that's been established for a long time. You ever take a weed or, you know, maples. In the spring they let down all their little seedlings and they float down. And sometimes they grow in your gutter.
and if you don't clean your gutters like I do, and pretty soon you got a forest growing in your gutter, and you go up there, and you know you can pull those maple trees out really, really easily because you know their roots are only about an inch deep and everything. You can pull them out because that seed, that maple, hasn't been established. But you ever go up to a maple seed that's been planted and growing for about 30 years, and you try and pluck that up out of the ground? That tree's been established there. And you put your arms around it and you say, oh, this is going to be easy. It's going to be no different than plucking a little maple seed out of my gutter. And you put your arms and you try and pick the maple tree up. You know what happens? You can't. Because that tree's been established. And it's the same thing with you. Your Christian life needs to grow up in His Word so that you become established. And that way no one can come to you and just pick you up and move you. That's how it should be. But that wasn't how it was with the Galatians. They were removed. Jump down to verse 9. And as we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than we have received, let him be accursed. Don't go after these other gospels. They're going to use the same words. They're going to use God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're actually going to use His Bible. But they're going to not rightly divide it. They're not going to teach His Word according to the revelation of Jesus Christ. They're not going to preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. They're not going to preach Paul's gospel. They're going to preach Moses' gospel. They're going to preach that Jesus Christ's gospel underneath the earthly kingdom. And you know what? They're going to try and pull you out. They're going to be there to deceive you. And God says, you're not to be like that. So go back over to 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. So we get to verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup, you have a responsibility to eat this bread and drink the cup. Eat the bread of Jesus Christ and do it worthily and drink the cup of the New Testament and understand that the New Testament is there for your benefit and that we are underneath the New Testament and we do not go back to the old. You do not bring the law back into the new because the law condemns and the new doesn't. They can't go together. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. We drop down to verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And we talked last week what those things mean and how that we become weak if you do this wrong. And that's spiritual. That's not physical weakness. You literally, spiritually, you're not growing. You're actually going in the reverse. Let me ask you, have you ever seen a baby be able to lift a 100-pound barbell? They're weak. They can't do anything on their own. And spiritually, that's how we become. And let's go back and look at a couple of the verses so we get this back in our heads again of what this means. Turn over to Romans chapter 14. We'll do this real quick. Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not the doubtful disputations. There, you can be weak in the faith and not understand things. And that's not where you want to be. Drop down to verse 21. It is neither good to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Spiritually, you are weak. You can be weak if you don't understand what God is doing. If you're only drinking the milk and you never make it to the meat, you're never going to make it to be strong. Turn over to Romans chapter 15, verse 1. Romans 15, 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And we talked last week how when you become weak, you're open up to diseases. You're open up to being made sick. And here Paul says that we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Weak spiritual people get sicknesses. One of the sicknesses is tithing. I got to give 10% every week. I don't care if I can pay my rent. I don't care if I got food for my children. I got to pay 10%. You know what that person has? The sickness of tithing. There's a lot of sicknesses people can have because they view God wrong.
if I give money, God's going to bless me. I'm going to keep going to my mailbox and hoping there's like a check in there that's going to cover my car payment. And you hear the stories. God's going to make me great. God's going to make me healthy and wealthy. I mean, how many health and wealth preachers are there out there? And they have great swelling auditoriums with people flocking to them. You know what? All those people have a disease. Because that's not what God's doing. They've been tricked. They've been slighted. Drop down to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans 13, 11. And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Paul says, wake up! You stay sick too long, you know what happens? You eventually die. You fall asleep. Your spiritual state is no different than an unsaved man, basically. Paul says, wake up! Don't you see what's happened? You haven't grown in Christ, you stayed a babe. And worse than that, you've become weak and sickly, and now you're to the point of death in your spiritual life. Don't be like that. So when we go back to 1 Corinthians 11, and we see those states that we can fall into if you unworthily partake, verse 30, For the cause of not discerning His body, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. See, that's not where God wants us to be. God would want us to be strong. And go back to, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. God doesn't want you weak, sickly, and sleeping. He wants you awake. Verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be what? Be strong. That's how you're to be. You're to be like that strong maple tree or strong oak tree that's mature and established, that cannot be moved. One day I want to get out to California. I think that's where the redwoods are, the sequoia forest or the giant trees there. And see them. They're supposed to be massive. I mean, massive. And I'd like to see that. That's how we're to be. You're to be strong like that, where you're rooted and grounded. Where? In Jesus Christ. So that way no one can come around and trick you and say, oh, here's a Bible verse I can maybe get you with. I know I took it out of context, and I know I took it out. It's not in the dispensation of the grace of God, but maybe I can hook you with it. No. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In the power of His might. It's God's will for your life that you are strong. Now, that's not physically. That's not, He doesn't want you at the gym every day pumping weights so you can be physically strong. God's saying, equip you in who He is. Be strong in the faith. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Be strong, and be strong in what Paul has taught, the grace of Jesus Christ. That's what you're to be strong in. So that way you aren't blown to and fro by every wind that comes around. I'm saying, that's God's will for your life. Go back over to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 1. We then, that are strong not to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. God expects you to be strong. So that way, when you have a weaker brother, you can help him. When you come across somebody that's dying and asleep in their spiritual life, you can help them. When you have somebody burying themselves underneath guilt and shame because they think they have to confess their sins on a daily basis and they're not sure if their standing with God is right or not because they haven't confessed everything, and you see them wailing in that state and in that sickness that they have, you are to be strong and come and help them out of that and wake them up. That's the point of all this. We are to be strong. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 11. And continue on here. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You see that verse? As you eat of that bread and drink of that cup, you are to what? Examine yourself. As you partake of that bread, and as you partake of that cup, it is incumbent upon you to look at your life. When's the last time you actually sat down and looked at your spiritual life and said, now let me think about the things I believe. Am I correct in these things? You know, I went to the doctor a couple weeks ago for a physical. You go, you know why? They take a little blood work, they look at your eyes, they check you out to see if you're healthy or not. To see if there's any diseases in you. You know, they take some blood, they run it through their machines, and you see, well, is my cholesterol high? Is this high? Is that low? You know, what's going on here? And you do all that to what? To check out your physical body, to see if there's problems. You know what God says to do? You ever give yourself a spiritual examination? You know, you ever take out the little tongue depressor and look inside you and say, and see what's growing in there? You ever look at your spiritual life to see if there's any maybe diseases in there that shouldn't be so you can start getting rid of them? You ever look at yourself to see if you are strong or if maybe you're just a babe in Christ? That's what he's telling you here. Let a man examine himself. How are you growing? Are you growing? Or are you weak and sickly? Or are you asleep? Paul's saying, examine yourself. Judge yourself. Look at yourself. What are you doing? How are you eating? And he says, examine yourself according to that bread and cup. How are you doing compared to the body of Christ? Do you understand it? Do you even understand what the body of Christ is? Do you understand that Paul is your apostle and that he gave you these things and he's the revealer of this mystery truth of Jesus Christ? Give yourself a spiritual examination. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 15. Or, 2 Corinthians, let me see. Chapter 13. Verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. You see that? Paul says, examine yourselves. Are you in the faith or not? Do you understand? Are you holding on to things that you came into Christendom with that are wrong? Have you been slighted before and you've kept those things in your life and you shouldn't? Is what he's saying. Has there been some trickery in your life that you need to look at to see if where you are is correct? This is so important for us. So many Christians, they never actually think about anything. They take what their pastor says and they look at the masses around them and they're happy being there. Oh yeah, my pastor told me, you know, I need to be like Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry and follow Him and walk like Him and take up my cross and follow Jesus. So I'm happy with that. No! That's going back underneath the law. My pastor says I need to, you know, be good unto my neighbors, and if I'm good, God's going to, you know, give me a new car, going to give me a job at work.
He's going to, you know, save me from the economic trouble that's happening.
No.
God says, you know, if I give him enough money, he's going to give me sevenfold back, or tenfold, or who knows how many fold. So, you know, I'm going to make an investment with God.
No, Paul says, examine yourselves. Are you thinking according to what God is thinking? Really? And if you're not, what are you supposed to do?
When you find, if you go to the doctor and they do some blood tests on you, and they say, oh, your cholesterol's high, you need to stop eating that food.
What do most people do? They go out and they stop eating that food because, you know what? They want their physical life to go on. Spiritually, though, you tell someone, you know, Paul's your apostle, and it's to him that you learn things, it's to him that you grow. You know what they say? No, that's okay. I prefer to stay sick over here. That's the problem with Christians. We don't view, people don't view their spiritual life correctly. They think that they're being spiritual when they're not. But he says, examine yourselves. Will you be in the faith? Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be his reprobates. Don't be a reprobate concerning the faith. You should be able to inspect your life and know that you're in Jesus Christ. And know that your attitudes and your thoughts and the way you're raising your children, the way you're dealing with people at work, and the way you go about and handle the affairs of life, that you're doing it correctly. And that you're strong. That's the whole point of this. And all that comes about is by partaking of the bread and the cup. Partaking correctly. Because if you don't, you become weak, sickly, and maybe even end up dying spiritually. Because there's no life there. How can there be? Because you've separated yourself from the life of Christ. You've blinded yourself to what He's doing. Turn back over to... let's see. Because if you don't examine yourself, you don't look for things in your life, you know what's going to creep up? Error will creep into your life. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man, flee these things. If you don't examine yourself and you don't look out for what you're eating and drinking spiritually, you can err from the faith. Problems can arise in your life. And you're allowing error to seep in. And you're not going to grow correctly. And here you got one about money. If money becomes your driving force, whether through the workforce or whether thinking God's blessing you with money and you're serving God for money, God said you can err from the faith. And you should flee these things. When you find something wrong in your life that goes against what Scripture says, you need to flee it and get it out of your life. And what this basically comes down to is God's Word going to have the authority in your life? Really? If you're thinking something and yet you come across a verse that tells you otherwise, what are you going to do in that self-examination? What are you going to do? Are you going to continue to think that because, you know what, everybody else thinks it and I've thought it all my life and I'm happy with that, it makes me feel good? Or are you going to listen to the verse and believe the verse and grow up and understand that this is all true? So many Christians, they get saved, but they want to hang on to things that they've just felt comfortable with all their life, even though they're wrong. They don't want to let go. Because they don't want to grow up. But we, as adult children, and not as adults, who are strong, should be letting go of the things that are wrong that are error and grasping onto the things that are true. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have what? Erred. Saying the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. You know, these are believers whose faith was overthrown by what? Error. Because they didn't examine themselves. They didn't examine how they're partaking of the bread and the cup appropriately. So they let these two guys come in and teach something that was wrong. Telling them that the resurrection's already happened. How terrible. And you know what? Weak Christians here believed them and followed them because they were children and they were deceived by these guys. Verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred. You don't want to err in your life. When you hear things, you need to examine it, judge it, compare it against the bread, compare it against the cup of the New Testament, see if they fit, and if they do, it's okay, but if they don't, you need to reject it. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. These are Christians who are going to be leaving the faith. Yes, they get saved, but they should grow up. But you know what happens? They remain babes and children, and then they start following all these other doctrines out there. They give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth of God. You know what? There are saints today that follow doctrines of devils because they don't examine themselves. They've given heed to seducing spirits. And they're out there trying to trick you, trying to deceive you. Trying to remove you unto another gospel. So what you need to do is examine everything you believe and compare it against the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And if you find things that don't match up with the bread and the cup, if you find things of thoughts that you have that are not in line with Scripture, you need to remove them and correct them in your life. And get it out. I mean, when you get a sliver in your hand, it becomes reddish and sore and infectious. How many of you look at that and say, oh, how awesome. I got a sliver in my hand. I'm going to leave it there. Actually, I'm going to put more in because it feels so nice. No, we try and take them out. God says, examine your lives. Are there things in your life, doctrines and thoughts that you have that are wrong? You need to remove them so you can grow up and be strong. That's what he's telling you. That's what he wants from you. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. He's talking about us in the Lord's house. Some of us are vessels, and some of us are vessels unto honor, and some of us never grow up and we're vessels unto dishonor. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself of these, if you purge yourself, if you examine yourself and remove the bad thinking and the bad doctrine that's in your life, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and met for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Examine yourself. Examine how you're eating of this bread and drinking of this cup. Examine. Do you really? Are you? If you look at yourself and you find I'm a babe in Christ, are you happy with that? No. You want to grow. You need to grow. That's God's will for your life. So you can be strong and not carried away. So turn back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So when he says in verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You are to examine to see if you're worthily or unworthily partaking. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And next week I'm going to go into the issues of 31, 32 and what it means to be chastened by God and to be judged and how you can avoid some of this stuff. And you know how you avoid being judged by others? By examining yourself. To see if you're right. Because if you examine yourself and you see things in yourself and you purge yourself of the bad doctrine and the bad activity, when others see you, they won't be able to judge you. And we'll get back and we'll see how the fornicator in Corinth, the guy that was sleeping with his father's wife, how he falls underneath a judgment like this. And how there are things you can avoid in your life if you would only examine your spiritual life. That's the point. And it's all about this bread and the cup. It's all about, do you understand who you are in the body of Christ and how God feeds you? And do you understand this is all possible because of the cup of blessing? That cup that Jesus Christ drank of has turned into your cup of blessing of the New Testament? And how He is free to flow all the grace and mercy and love towards you, and for you to try and mingle in law into that is wrong. Because He satisfied everything underneath the law. But everything comes down to verse 28. That's the pivotal point in your spiritual life. Examine yourself. So my encouragement to you is this week, go home and give yourself a spiritual examination. And as you think about what you believe, does it correlate with what God's doing in His body? With His body. And if it correlates with Israel, but not with His body, you know what? God says, grow up. Stop thinking you're over there when you're actually here. Be strong. Equip yourselves like men so you can wear out the battle and not fail. So let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the light it brings. We thank You for giving us the Scripture so that we can compare what we think and believe against them. And then letting the authority of the Word have dominance in our life. And when we find thoughts and ideas that are against Your Word, may we be what a wise person would do. And that's to change our thinking and come into line with what You're doing. Because You're not going to change and come into line with what we want. Because You are God and You have set things out in the way that You have disposed them. And we need to set our wills according to Your will. And when we do that, we know that we will be strengthened and grow up and become mature and not tossed to and fro as children. And what a wonderful state that would be. As if everybody here would be strong in the Word. In Your name, amen.